May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be pleasing to you this day, O Lord. Amen. Just who do you think you are? Now, I'm sure we've all been asked that question one time or other, sometimes in a joking way, sometimes in a mean way. But this is exactly what the Sadducees and the Pharisees were asking Jesus. Just who do you think you are? Now, they're testing the Lord to determine if he is the one promised from David of old, the king, the one who is to come and rule and bring Israel back to its greatest days. Now, they've all heard of Jesus' teaching. They've seen, some may have even seen his miracles. But they still think they need just more proof. In these passages, we hear that the Sadducees question Jesus in order to try to trip him up, just like I did with the kids with the riddle. This instance is the only time, by the way, this instance is the only time we ever see the Sadducees actually talking with Jesus. That's the only time it's recorded in the Bible where they actually speak with Jesus and he speaks with them. Now, if you don't know who Sadducees were, they were descended from David's priest, who was Zadok. They're all this descendants of his. And so they are the high priest of the church. They are the ones that are trying to condemn Jesus. They are the ones that did condemn Jesus. Now, they specialized only in the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible. That's all they listened to. They didn't hear the prophets. They didn't hear the books of wisdom. They didn't believe any of those things, just the first five books. And if you've ever read those first five books, you know that they are nothing but law, law, law. Now, I won't say that they're all law, because you can get gospel out of law too, but that's a different thing. That's another sermon for another day. When I think of this passage and the Sadducees questioning Jesus, I always think of an old parody that I have. It's a list of 10 pretty good rules. And the first one is, never wrestle with a pig, because you both get dirty and the pig likes it. And the second one is, and this is the one I really found, is never argue with an idiot, because those watching might not be able to tell the difference. That's how I would have responded to these Sadducees. But listen to how Jesus teaches these scholars about that there is a resurrection from their own books that they are supposed to be experts in. Jesus doesn't respond with sarcasm like I would, or disdain. But instead, he addresses their question directly. And he says this, the sons of this age marry and are given into marriage. But those who are considered worthy of taking part in the age to come, that's heaven, are not given into marriage. And they're in the resurrection. They neither marry or given into marriage. And they can no longer die. They can no longer die. For they are like angels. They are God's children. Jesus went on further, showing the Sadducees, but the dead are raised, even as Moses showed in the passage about the bush. Now, this burning bush is really, really, really rich in theology, if you want to dig into it. Its meaning sanctifies God's holiness, as evidenced by the command to remove his sandals, Moses to remove his sandals, a gesture of reverence and recognition of a sacred place. That's why we bow at the altar and have reverence here too. It's a sacred place in some respects. The fire represents God's presence, purity, and eternal and power. Yet the bush was not consumed, symbolizing God's eternal nature and sustaining power of his presence. Jesus points out that God is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive. In this way, he uses the very scriptures accepted by the Sadducees to affirm that the reality of the resurrection and God's power over life and death. Last week, we memorialized our saints, the ones that have passed before us, and we affirmed that our sure and certain faith in a resurrection. And here today, Here today, we see Jesus teaching those who are seeking his death this very gospel that we proclaimed last week. Now, Jesus, in this whole book of Matthew, is traveling towards Jerusalem to his end and our glory. He's traveling to finish the work that the Father had sent him to complete, the atonement for your sins and my sins. And he has spent 30-some years walking among us, teaching and showing us what real love is really like. All through his life and journeys, he has been both praised and berated. He has been treated with great respect and deep revile. Soon, he will be even given a hero's parade throughout the city, and then cruelly beaten, scourged, and nailed to a cross, and will die. And even then, his side will be pierced to make sure he's dead. All this he has done for the Sadducees and us. His death ensured that all, and I do mean all, sins have been paid for in full. His resurrection gives us even greater joy. For ages, the good Lord has promised a redemption from the curse that follows us from birth. And now that redemption has come. By Jesus' death and resurrection, we are assured that we and all who believe in him and have his name will follow him into that eternal life through the promised resurrection. Listen to those who were with him and saw his death and resurrection. Listen to their witness. St. Paul writes in Acts, having a hope in God, which these men themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. And St. John recorded St. Thomas's encounter with the truth of the resurrection. Now Thomas, who is also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers in his side, I will not believe. And that sounds a little bit like the Sadducees and other people. You know, you got to see it to believe it. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And the doors were locked, but Jesus came in and stood among them and said, peace with you. And he said to Thomas, put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting, and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. The importance of all this cannot be adequately expressed in words. A dead Jesus might have been a great teacher, a wonder worker, and remembered and loved as such. But only a risen and living Christ could be the Savior and the life giver, and as such be preached to all men. And in this most blessed truth, we have the fullest and most unquestionable evidence. This is the foundation of the church, the inscription on the banners of her army, the strength and the comfort of every Christian heart, and the grand hope of humanity. Now there were, and there will always be, those who say that the raising of a dead person, while rare, still occurs. They will point to somebody's near-death experience of a loved one, or a medical miracle, or perhaps they might even look into the Bible, where we see about 10 resurrections recorded. From Elijah, who raised the widow's child, to St. Paul, who brought the young man who had fell all the three stories to his death back to life. And if you notice, there's always been something there. It's not in the resurrection of our Lord. There's always been a human hand. So there's only one resurrection with no human help. In the third article of the Apostles' Creed, we confess, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luther on these words writes, on the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and will give eternal life to me and all believers. This is more certainly true. Please understand now, please understand this, that the promise of the resurrection and eternal life is ours now, right now. Romans says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But do not go through life thinking that all will be saved like some do. Everybody thinks, you know, have love and flowers and everybody's going to be saved. Listen to Jesus' words in Matthew. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed one, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and the angels. Now this might bring to mind, how do I know that I'm saved? And Jesus tells you that too. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will ever snatch them out of my hands. Now, the thought of death is a frightening thing to really most people, especially people who cannot believe in Jesus' promise of the resurrection. And in truth, I think we are all somewhat frightened about something we don't know and what's coming. And I'm kind of reminded of a story I heard about this passing away. There was an old parishioner, and he was on his last days, and his pastor came to give him his last rites. And his pastor said, Denny, you have been baptized, and you are a faithful Christian, so I know that you're going to go to heaven. And Denny looked back and said, Pastor, I know that, but I'd much rather stay where I'm acquainted. And so I think sometimes we have that too in our minds. Faith is the only answer to these fears. The words of an old hymn also comes to mind when we talk about death and resurrection. Jesus and the resurrection. Hymns of praise, then let us sing unto Christ, our heavenly King, who endured the cross and grave, sinners to redeem and save. Alleluia. Now, earlier in this sermon, I asked you a question. Who do you think you are? May I answer it for you? You are a chosen child of God, redeemed by his holy water in your baptism, and strengthened by his very body and blood that you receive at this altar. By his word, you have been strengthened, and your faith has been increased. You have been given gifts in order that you may share the love shown to you by our God. In short, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This citizenship in heaven is not based on your or my merit, but entirely on God's grace and his love for us through the atoning work of Christ. Remember, your worth and assurance comes from what he has done, not what you do or feel. Let this truth anchor your heart in times of doubt and inspire you to live with confidence and gratitude each day, looking forward to the day that our Savior does return. And we are all joined by the resurrection in that greatest of places, the heaven he is preparing for us. Now may the peace of the Lord keep your hearts and minds until life everlasting. Amen.